right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here as always. Actually, I'm here again with my buddies Chuck and John. Haven't seen them in a little bit. The world has been changing underneath us. I didn't even know what a Pokemon Go was last time we podcasted.
Did you know what a Brexit was?
I didn't know what a Brexit was.
Did you know what a turkey was?
Yeah.
Turkish coup d'etat.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
What about a Mike Pence?
I didn't know who here. I've been Googling all kinds of Mike Pence, but let's not steer it down that road. However, right before we just started recording, Chuck just did a thing because Chuck is the baby of the group.
Mike Pence, none the richer.
You're the 500th person I've heard or seen say that.
Sorry, buddy. I really thought I invented it right now.
I know. I see most of Nashville where Sixpence None the Richer is kind of made their home. Has been tweeting all kinds
I'm friends
of
with the drummer.
There she goes, America.
That's anyway. One of the worst covers of all time.
Moving on. So Chuck just did a thing with his phone. He said he was Instagramming it. I thought he was Snapchatting it. Mm-hmm. He was doing, as the baby of the group, he's a little more in tune with technology.
Did he do it on Pokemon Go?
I'm like 8 months younger than John.
Yeah, but John is John is incompetent.
He's Uncle
curmudgeon.
Grandma.
Grandma. He's a curmudgeon.
Can we just say wise beyond his years?
He's
Can
wise.
You just tell me that I have an old soul?
Yeah, John has an old soul in the fact that he can't use any technology.
No, just
we have changed the passwords on our social media because he can't figure out how to not do his personal accounts onto our accounts. But I assume Chuck, you that thing you just did was an Instagram.
Yeah, I did.
Because you were using kind of a I don't know what that tone of speaking was.
Yeah,
kind of a hip hop young.
Yeah, that's rapper talk.
So I was at Las Vegas Summer League, which we will talk about a lot on this podcast. One of the things is, like, I would go to these games, and they're overrun with Lakers fans, and they're all the younger generation, and I never felt so old.
Just go up to them and talk like you're Al Jolson.
Yeah, so I never felt so old as watching a basketball game, and there's some, like, dude behind me who's snapping the whole game, like, hey, yo, there goes Ben Simmons. I'm sitting here snapping, yeah, what? Mm-hmm. Like, throughout the entire game. Like, like a guy behind me on his phone, and I'm
That's
sitting there
disturbing.
Like, I'm like, I am so old. I'm so old because I'm like, I hate this. Like, why can't he just sit there?
You should have sprayed him with a hose.
Well, I was like, why can't he just sit there and trash talk a random player like every other person
here? See what 8 months does? I love it. I love it. John wants to spray them with a hose, which is...
Put your thumb over the nozzle.
Probably something we're going to have to bleep out.
Over
and,
your nozzle.
Also have, you know, things like...
Well,
wonderful things happening with Snapchat. There's a whole subculture of people making fun of Snapchat, people doing that. Which is amazing.
See, that sounds very hipster. I could get into that.
Snapchat is probably the least user-friendly thing I've ever used.
I downloaded Snapchat, and I created a Fast Break Breakfast Snapchat account thinking I would do some snaps on the road. I don't think I could figure it out.
My old lady.
I recorded one snap, and I tried to send it to Chuck. As far as I know, he never got it.
My old lady is addicted to it.
Yeah.
Which probably means she's having an affair.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
But she sends me stuff all the time. When I successfully watch it, for some reason there's no sound. And then when I try to turn the sound on, I delete it.
Mm-hmm.
I could make it, and I enjoyed writing little messages on the pictures or videos. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I want to post this now. And I couldn't find the post button. And there was like a send button, so I typed in the Mighty Chuck, which I don't know. Yours might be something different.
It's the Mighty Chuck 1.
So that's I sent a very intimate video to the Mighty Chuck.
You had an opportunity to put a number behind your
and it wasn't 69.
And it wasn't 42069. Who are you?
I'm sorry.
Anyway, before we move on, we should probably get to our breakfasts because it has been a while.
Mm-hmm.
Our listeners have not heard us talk about breakfast in a little bit. So did you guys have a chance to breakfast on this Sunday, meeting on a Sunday, a very rare occurrence?
I know. It's the Lord's Day.
Yep.
She's a great artist. I love that song, Royals.
I forgot.
Oh, I know what
Sunday.
I had.
I forgot what day it was.
No, yeah. John lives in a timeless world where it's all a flat circle. A
stay-at-home dad does the same thing.
Yeah, you live in a...
What day is today?
Hey,
I don't know.
Keith, by the way.
Yep.
Baby Dungeon looks great today.
Oh yeah,
you've been like.
Well, I picked up the table that we are recording on right now with the equipment. I actually picked up some of the trash off the table.
Oh, good.
So it has an appearance, but there still is much visible trash from where we're seated right now.
Flotsam and jetsam.
Much to the horror of my wife,
greeting
who likes to keep
curve.
Things clean.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Just keep her upstairs. You'll be fine.
Yep, that's the goal.
Breakfast.
Yes, me. Chuck.
Had a wonderful breakfast. I was at Dino's Bar and Grill in East Nashville, waiting on John to revive from a comatose state.
Right.
Before I picked him up to come.
I set my alarm for 1 p.m. today.
Went a little different today. Wasn't really hungry. Had a big meal late last night. So I just like, let me get a little snack before we podcast, but my blood sugar doesn't get low. Had a little slice of vanilla cheesecake.
Oh, from Dino.
Sometimes I'll do that. Sometimes I'll just have a dessert for breakfast.
You know, dessert and breakfast, they're like kissing cousins.
You love it. You think savory is like mochi ice cream or something.
Yeah, yeah. As long as it's not too over the top.
I want something salty. I'm going to get these Dippin' Dots.
Yeah. No, that's like if you get the Dippin' Dots, like a fruit flavored.
Right.
Yeah. like I didn't get birthday cake, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll go with a savory.
It's cookies and cream. It's savory.
Right.
I used to have a studio that I shared that was in the Dippin' Dots building.
Yep.
On off of Music Row. And Dippin' Dots went out of business.
They've been bankrupt several times, I believe.
But they're in every Dippin' Dots still exist. They're not called Dippin' Dots anymore.
No,
what are they called now?
No, Dippin' Dots still exist too.
They're space pellets.
There's lots of getting around the trademark, different kind of ice creams. Because my brother-in-law laid down this rule once: when you see Dippin' Dots, you buy Dippin' Dots. And I thought it was good, and I've gone for it. So pretty much, I always get Dippin' Dots. The FedEx Forum used to have Dippin' Dots where the Grizzlies play. No longer. They now have an imitation. So I don't get them anymore. In Vegas Summer League, they actually had Dippin' Dots.
I don't see Dippin' Dots locally any longer.
Right. It was very sad. There was a freestanding Dippin' Dots store. And when I say freestanding,
brick and mortar,
it shared more so a brick and mortar store because it did share with another business right beside it. It was like a coffee shop. Yeah, it was like a exactly. It was a Pizza Hut Dippin' Dots freestander. Yeah. So John,
did it serve Tang as the drink?
I think it served its normal sodas. You know, you got to get those. Got to get that soda money. That's how anyone stays in business. Speaking of, they're also out of business. So John, you're saying you skipped breakfast on this Sunday?
I've only been awake for about 70 minutes.
Well, a lot of people might call that breakfast time.
Mm-hmm.
So
I can talk about what I'm going to get for breakfast
if you need.
Is it even breakfast anymore, or am I just getting lunch?
As long as you break the fast.
Dude. Yeah.
Breakfast is whenever you call it breakfast. It's like art. If you declare it art, it is art.
I haven't eaten since like 3:30 yesterday, so this is some fast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was hoping to eat. Listen to this amazing thing that I was going to eat last night. It's sort of breakfasty. The Taco Bell late night menu was being reimagined at a local gastropub. They were going to make a bunch of Taco Bell classics, only, you know, all snobby style.
That sounds pretty good.
But by the time my shoot was over, it was 12:30 at night, and they had already sold out of all the food instantly.
That's too bad. That's sorry to hear.
But I'll be back for you.
Gastropub.
My breakfast today.
Shishi Taco Bell.
My breakfast today was, I mentioned this once before, and I declared it one of the best muffins I'd ever had. It was a cinnamon chip muffin with some cream cheese icing.
Right. Look, I don't care about what you have for breakfast today. I want to know what you have for breakfast.
In Summer League. Las Vegas.
Okay.
Talk to us, Beba.
Well, this is what we've been waiting for.
I guess I'll tell you my best breakfast.
You ate breakfast with Beck?
Yeah. Well, so other years I've gone to Vegas, I've done a thing with my credit card where like I got a free buffet every day.
Right.
So like that was pretty crucial, and I would, you know, get like 5,000 calories every morning. You know, like 11 a.m., 5,000 calories loaded for the day. Because then you get to the gym, you get to the Thomas and Mack Center, and it's like not good food. It's just
$14 for a hot dog.
Well, the prices actually aren't exorbitant. They're not terrible. It's more like high school football game style, you know, like $5 hot dog.
Concession stand.
But the food's not super good. So like I would load up with the 5,000 calories at like 11 and then have a couple snacks, some Dippin' Dots, you know, and then you get out of there at like 9, and then I'd end up eating another meal at like 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd eat at like 11 a.m., 10 p.m., giant things. Anyway, so this year, my credit card had discontinued that little special thing with the casino I was going to stay at.
Yikes.
But I did one day go to the Aria Buffet, which is spectacular. And I'm trying to remember everything. I start with the omelet station. Mm. You know, I feel like that's a good warm up because again, as our listeners know, I'm not a huge first moments of the day eater,
right.
And this actually was we just got up, went straight down there pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But so I warmed up with the omelet. I got a mushroom jalapeno. It was pretty good. Jalapenos were kicking, very
very jalapeno.
Very, very, yeah. They had that bite. So that was a good wake up.
Yeah. Well, it's good for your endocrine system. You know, really juices you.
Get you going.
Yeah.
Did you get some of that shrimp with extra iodine poisoning?
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
I did get some of the shrimp. I will say, Aria Buffet, shrimp were not good.
What?
They look terrible. And I'm like, well, I give them benefit of the doubt. It's a pretty nice place.
Someone call Steve Wynn.
They actually were kind of poor. I grabbed they have a tandoori station, which I take as Indian food.
Yeah, it is.
Theoretically. Theoretically. I assume it's more, Indian is too broad of a term, so they wanted to specifically say the tandoori. Yeah. I always grab something there, some little veggie thing, throw it on. That's delicious.
Some samosa.
I get some shaved ham. Mm. I got some chorizo sausage cut for me.
Easy.
I even showed some restraint.
Oh.
They had a carrot cake pancake with cream cheese icing.
That's too savory for you anyways.
It is. Way too savory.
I felt like that
carrot would be salty. Salty carrot.
I felt like it was umami. Made specifically just for me. So I had to I had to get a piece of that.
Of course.
And that was pretty good. They had Eggs Benedict. I got a little Eggs Benedict.
LeBron James.
In honor of LeBron. Still unsigned free agent LeBron.
Ooh.
Where's he going to go, Chuck?
I don't know. Maybe coming back to Miami, baby.
I think that might have wrapped it. Probably got a parfait. I mean, they got the parfait away.
Okay, just for,
I mean,
now did you did now you he's photograph
just bragging.
This?
Now he's just bragging.
Why didn't you document it?
I photographed some things.
All those meals should go on our Instagram.
I really.
You have the password, not John.
Yeah, I really dropped the ball. Well, I get very self conscious about normally I tweet like 3 times a day, maybe max.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like during Vegas, I'm like, I feel like I was going up to like 5, 6, 7.
Right.
And then I start feeling self conscious. Like I'm not a high volume tweeter, so
it seemed like a frenzy.
I didn't know how much I was supposed to throw out there.
No, that's why you throw Instagram pictures. It's great. That's the medium.
No one follows our Instagram. So
yeah. Well, we got enough. That's why they don't, Keith, because you're not taking pictures at Vegas Summer League.
You're supposed to be the Instagram guy, Chuck.
I know it's hard, dude.
It's hard.
It's hard to make.
It's hard to know what people want.
I know it's hard to make memes.
Anyway, so I guess that was my biggest breakfast. My other breakfasts were trying out various food eateries I've never been to. Like Raising Cane's chicken fingers,
ooh,
which is fine.
You know what it is? It's a
Cane from WWF.
No, it's a bootleg Guthrie's. You guys,
it's a Guthrie.
Guthrie's.
Oh. So some people were talking.
Oh, we know Guthrie's.
Yeah. So some people were comparing it to a Nashville place, McDougal's.
Yeah.
But that's a bootleg Guthrie's.
And that's a bootleg. But I was saying this is more just straight up Guthrie's.
It is.
But again, it's like every chicken tender place where they have the same secret sauce.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's the same.
That secret sauce is the most tasty laxative in the world.
Guthrie's is a chicken finger place that is super famous in Tallahassee, Florida for feeding drunk Florida State Seminoles.
Yep.
Yep.
And it basically has been copied by a bunch of people in franchise
Guthrie's
format.
Guthrie's, fun fact, they will not let you walk through the drive-thru.
For your safety. But they will let you push your friend in a shopping cart.
Yes.
There you go. All right, so I guess we should move on because we haven't talked about basketball at all in a while. So a lot of things have happened in the NBA, and I guess we're just going to kind of skip it straight to our scattered, smothered, covered thoughts. Before we do that, I want to tell you guys about Fan Essentials, which is a subscription service for NBA fans and NFL fans, and they have some college teams where you can get unique gear sent to your house monthly. They have subscriptions starting at $14.99. Enter the code FBBF, as in Fast Break Breakfast. You get 30% off your order, and we get a little piece of that to help keep the lights on in the baby dungeon. So go to fanessentials.net and get all the essentials you need. All right, so scattered, smothered, covered thoughts.
Can I get the boring question out of the way?
What's the boring question, John?
Who were the stars and busts of Summer League? Let's get the meaningless.
Well, that's the meaningless. I actually want to turn back the clock even more.
Okay.
I kind of want to set the stage almost for what Summer League is, because I don't think a lot of people know that there's games going on, but like it is. The
passion in Keith's eyes right now.
This is one of my favorite things. I mean, it really is one of my favorite things. When I first went 2 years ago, this will be my third year that I've gone. So, like, when I first went year before last, it was like, it's a small gym. Like, it's like, the Thomas and Mack Center, the UNLV gym,
right,
is a normal college gymnasium. And then it's attached as a practice gym. And there's two gyms side by side. And there's just like a continuous flow of people. And this continuous flow of people includes like every NBA journalist you know,
right,
NBA head coaches, the coaching staffs, old ex-players just walking around. All the teams, like the teams, like they can go under through the tunnels, but then a lot of times when they're done playing, they come out, and it's just like, it's such an open free form of NBA players everywhere. Like NBA nerds like myself, we just geek out.
Yeah.
Like the first time I went, I was just starstruck, like jaw agape.
Yeah.
Looking at,
part of me thinks it's like Martell Webster just walking around waiting for people to recognize him.
There's some of that, man.
And so, are you the spitting dinosaur from Jurassic Park, sir?
So there's a lot of that. And one of the strange things is, like, it's hard to recognize fringe NBA guys. Like, even if you watched League Pass every night all year, when you see like a pack of basketball players or guys, like you see a pack of like 15 6'5" to 7'1" people, and they're all dressed the same in like these sweatpants and white t-shirt thing.
The world's scariest gang from the movie Warriors.
Well, like, and then you're like looking at faces, and you're like, all right, I recognize that's definitely Adrian Payne. Yeah. But then it's like, who are the rest? And so the fun part of Summer League and the fun part of being in Las Vegas during this whole time, and pretty much what I spend most of my time doing, because I'm still kind of a geek about this, is like, I just walk like down the strip. I walk through the gymnasium just trying to name people. And it's like, you get used to scanning the crowd looking for the tall people. And there's tons of them. Like in a normal, like I'm 6'4".
Right.
So in a normal situation,
you're an above average size male.
Not even above average size. Like I'm normally in the top few percent.
Yeah.
When I'm standing in line at Chipotle, I'm normally the tallest person there.
Usually.
Like, you know, if someone comes in taller, it's like, oh, this guy might play it at
Lipscomb.
We watch
a sport of freaks and monsters.
Right. And so
athletes.
The interesting thing about Summer League is you walk into that gym, and not only are like, you know, so there's 24 teams with 15 guys on the roster.
Right.
So like at least 300 some of the people, oh, those are taller than me.
Mm-hmm.
Every team has 5 or 6 coaches. Most of the coaches are ex-NBA players.
Right.
They're taller than me. And then the kicker is like, the fans are all like basketball players.
Right.
They're like, oh, I played in college. I played JUCO. I played high school. So like the fans are like freakishly tall.
Right.
The employees at UNLV. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're all like, yeah, I assume they're ex-basketball players. Like, yeah.
You were a tiny person.
Yeah. There. So it's weird where it's like the only situation ever.
So if the Zika virus hit there, we would ruin our basketball chances for all time. It seems
right.
Like
it would really take out a large swath of the tall people in the world.
A dense genetic, pool of freaks.
I mean, it's a weird situation where it's like, yeah. So now where normally I'm one of the top 2 or 3 tallest people in any room I go in. It's like I'm now 50th percentile. I don't know, 45th percentile. Yeah.
Do you think that's why you go? Because it makes you feel like a child again, Keith?
It gives me that wonder. Yeah, it might be. So yeah,
you have to look up at people when you talk to them, and that hasn't happened to you.
Well, then one of the funniest things. One of the last nights I was there, I was with a bunch of other like NBA writer dudes and various Twitter people that I've met. Like we were looking for tall people. Mm-hmm. We see a real tall guy. We're like, who is that? Who is that? Oh, I think that's Jaylen Brown. That's Jaylen Brown. And then one of the dudes with us was like, guys, Isaiah Thomas. Like, we're not looking for 6 foot tall people. Right. Like, Isaiah Thomas was like really close to us. And we were like, oh, you know, like that's like my favorite point guard growing up, you know, like all time great player. Yeah. Anyway, that sets the stage of, it is crazy. It is fun. It's gotten overwhelmingly crowded in the 3 years I've gone. Cause I think again, people go, but actually I think
product.
I might be overselling it. It's not that much fun. No one else go.
Yep.
I know Keith was very leery about me joining the trip.
Well, I mean, you guys acted like you guys were coming. I was fine with you guys showing up.
We almost came.
Chuck
was ready. I shut it down.
Yeah, I was like, man, if I do it, we got to just do it for a night and come back because there's no way I got a whole lot.
That's an expensive night.
Yeah. Well, no, they fly people out to Vegas for like $40 now. They want you to spend it. Like,
how?
The casinos underwrite everything. Well, how much was your ticket?
Our ticket, when we looked, they were pretty expensive.
Were they?
I don't know any way to get that whole story of like they'll fly you to Vegas so you can lose your money. Yeah. I think that's like a Mad Men era thing.
No, when I was in New York, there would be like $59 flights from LaGuardia.
Like the round trip flights from Nashville, it's like if you can get them for $400,
really?
you won.
Yeah, yeah,
like were, that's like
they were expensive.
Yeah.
But I was, if I hadn't got, I got a, I landed a commercial where I was going, and I think it worked out in my benefit.
Yeah.
Because it honestly, I can't tell if this is like me trying to make myself feel better about going. When you watch it on TV, it looks boring.
Well, so it is, a lot of people do decry the level of
right
games.
Right.
And I will grant you it's not great. I mean, some people like the basketball is horrible. And I guess you could argue it is. I feel like for an addict like me, I think it's fun. And I like the idea of knowing that, like, these guys are all playing. This is like the lottery for them. Yeah. Or this is a legit.
No, the competition.
You know, this
incredible.
Is a legit, like, all these guys are on the very fringe. These right. guys, of all the people trying to play basketball right. in the world, this is now like this top 1% who have actually gotten an invite here. And you only get a couple years normally. Most guys, if you don't make it by your 3 years out of college, you know, like, they'll just try someone else.
Right,
and
right.
so it's like all these guys are trying so hard. The way the basketball is bad is because you get guys, one, they're not familiar with each other, and then it's like their athleticism hasn't caught up to, like, the finishing skill moves
their
that you
finesse.
Need to make
yeah.
the NBA.
Yeah.
So that part of it is bad. When you're watching it in the big gym, too, even if you're excited to see the guys play, a lot of times it's like, this is boring because it's gotten empty.
Right.
But then you get it filled with Lakers fans and it does get kind of hype. But then in the small gym.
Next year, I want you to start an experiment where you pick a player at random and espouse their virtues on Twitter, whether they're playing well or not.
Right.
I think people will echo you.
Oh, most definitely.
I think the narratives for Summer League are crafted up and because, for instance, Dragon Bender, everyone talked about how great he was. I watched
right.
three of his games. He is terrible.
Well, okay, so Dragon Bender is a great example.
Right.
Dragon Bender is
the best name I've ever heard in my life.
We should not blow past the point that it is probably the greatest name ever.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's a fictionally created. It's two on the nose.
It is.
Like,
it's a villain in a.
It's amazing.
It's dark a better horse.
It's an M. Night Shyamalan.
If his name was Ivan Drago, it'd be more believable.
So Dragon Bender definitely had a Skittishvili vibe on offense at times.
Mm-hmm. Skittishvili vibe.
However,
Skittishvili. Turnover machine.
Turnover machine, absolutely. Like, terrible. Like, his shooting stroke was really hard to find.
He would stop
he was
dribbling
lost.
40 yeah. feet from the basket.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He would pick up his dribble. It's like, that's like high school sophomore mistake.
Yeah. You might call that a Wade Baldwin 4 mistake.
Oh, another guy who everyone said was incredible.
Dragon Bender, yes, was so many turnovers, shot terribly. However, I came away with being like, that guy's going to be super good in a few years.
One day.
Yeah, like because he's I think he's 18 still. You know,
but I'm glad you brought up Wade Baldwin too, because those are the two players everybody's like, man, those are going to be rotational players.
Yeah,
and I'm like, no, they're not.
Let's say Wade Baldwin, because I can get pretty deep into the Grizzlies.
But really, low at the end of every summer league, outside of like top 10 lottery picks playing,
right?
How often does any player, you know, become anything important?
Well, so you
other than
you
back
do
of the
you
roster
do
filler.
Have there's examples on both sides.
Yeah,
you know, like last year Norman Powell was really good at summer league,
yeah.
and Norman Powell this year was just trouncing people,
right.
And you're like, yeah, this guy played well in game 7 of, right. of a playoff series, mm-hmm. you know, a couple months ago. To wrap up Dragon Bender, again, he's 7 feet tall. I think he's 18. He looks comfortable with the ball. He, on defense, he moves well. Mm-hmm. He contests shots well. So you're like, oh, this guy's not awkward. This guy's not Skittishvili and slow.
Yeah.
You know, like, this guy is going to be a baller, just not now. Mm-hmm.
When you said Skittishvili and vibe earlier,
right.
I thought you said Skittishvili vibe. And I thought you were making your first rap reference.
yeah.
No, I wasn't.
Which I also didn't get. And turns out, doesn't exist.
That's not a real rap reference.
So
I've checked.
So I guess starting at the top, you'd have to say like Ben Simmons. Like, everyone's excited to see Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. I've never seen Ben Simmons play. Ben Simmons made his team. I mean, this is the flip sides of the coin. In summer league this year, when Ben Simmons was on the court, pretty sure they were way worse. Mm-hmm. Like, however,
but those fancy passes.
Ben Simmons, I was blown away. I mean, I hadn't seen his handle is so good.
I watched him play in the SEC tournament and he got blown out by Texas A&M and he looked like a bucket of garbage. Their team scored 37 points in a regulation NCAA.
Well, so
game.
Like the Sixers Summer League team had Ben Simmons and then four other rotational guys, like guys who have played, who were on the roster. It was TJ McConnell, Jeremy Grant,
yeah, those guys got big NBA minutes.
Right.
Those guys both did stints on my fantasy team. God help me.
Rashawn Holmes. but the problem was Ben Simmons at this point is so bad at shooting and is so hesitant to shoot. it was a thing where people were Tony Allen, Tayshaun Prince guarding him. Like,
oh,
but
no.
The thing was, they were so far sagging off of him, but he could still beat them. Like, he could still set any. His passes were so good, set up so many guys for open threes, but the Sixers guys, there was no shooters, so they passed up all these open threes. So
I have a feeling with him, and it's just from watching him play in that one game, and obviously it's stupid to make a full decision on somebody.
Oh, no, I'm all about a 15-second snap judgment. Summary judgment, Keith.
Snap judgment, body language, watching him play, like, that. You have to have a specific kind of, and we've talked about it before, like almost sociopathic desire to defeat people if you want to succeed in the NBA. And that's what brings somebody who's like that, a physical freak, into the next level. Because he can play like this and then get in his head when he's not dominating, and next thing you know, he's no longer the best player on the court, and he, you know, degrades into whatever bust we've always seen happen.
I do think some of the storylines where I think I've read or heard people wondering, like, was he just biding his time at LSU?
Yeah.
I think it's possible.
He was playing for his godfather
right.
at LSU. And that's the only reason he went there. Mm-hmm. They basically cashed out early on the season and stopped trying. They didn't even go play in the end. They rejected all postseason tournament invitations.
I think he's going to be a monster.
Like, I do too. I saw him. Chuck definitely saw the nadir of his career. Mm-hmm. I saw him play Kentucky, and he beat Kentucky, you know, a top 25 team, single-handed.
I mean, so Summer League, the offense is so far behind the defense, because a lot of these guys are still skilled defenders or good athletes enough to stop, and the offensive moves aren't developed enough. Mm-hmm. And there's also, everything's clogged up. There's no lanes. There's no openings. Ben Simmons could break people down and get guys layups, mm-hmm. or get guys wide open threes.
Right.
When
he's 6'10".
Yeah, and he's huge. Mm-hmm. So, like, I we're gonna watch him have some horrible shooting nights.
Yeah,
if you're
but
in a fantasy
he's gonna be
league,
a triple double machine.
If you're in a fantasy league, you have to draft him pretty early or spend a lot of auction dollars.
Yeah,
people are gonna be excited to play.
I mean, I think like maybe that was them shutting it down at LSU in the SEC tournament and going, all right, let's get this paycheck. Buddies, we've seen enough. He's got enough tape for people to know he's the best. Let's like shut down, not worry about injuries. And that could have been a thing.
And
what
and
I
his
saw,
teammates didn't like him at LSU too, which also became a problem.
What I saw there was a dude that just didn't look like he cared.
Probably didn't.
And if he's not, and he's in an organization like Philly, and they aren't really strategically set to handle that sort of behavior at mindset.
I'm all in on the Philly over again, boys.
You know, I don't know. I can see
no,
him
I'm definitely
becoming,
taking the,
I can see
they're,
him
they're going to be the worst team again.
Yeah, I can see him becoming something. I mean, you know, Evan Turner-esque, perhaps.
Yep.
I've missed
that. Is that backhanded?
Ooh, brutal.
Evan Turner-esque.
I mean, he was supposed to be that
he'll
dude.
He'll get paid.
So moving on to another prospect, Brandon Ingram, you know, obviously, like, I was super impressed with him, too. Jack Skellington, indeed, but, like, he is so smooth. He's so small. So his is going to be interesting. And again, I think the Lakers are going to be pretty terrible, like very terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Again.
Sorry to man.
Yeah, yeah. But so I was impressed with what I saw of him. Like he was very.
What about Scala Bissiera?
So Scala Bissiera, like, so joking about the 15-second snap judgment,
right.
I saw him play and was like, yes, gimme.
Yeah.
However,
I wanted the Grizzlies to get him again.
I was talking to some guys who are more knowledgeable, who are, you know, like actually write about college and write about some scouting stuff.
So
like,
just other people,
right? So, well, I mean, I meant
that's the bizarre world you're in over there. You're the shortest and least knowledgeable.
Yeah. No, and I didn't mean they're smarter about basketball and scouting than me. I meant like in the general basketball world that they actually do that. But they were saying how like they're like they don't like him at all. And I was watching him like, well, like that one game, like kind of liked it. And then his last game with the Kings, he also. He played well.
Willie Cauley Stein better watch his back. That's all the beat writers I'm reading.
I'll tell you what I'm thinking about. Thinking about that Sacramento Kings roster, which doesn't make any sense at all, what they've built.
Vlades.
I'm looking at Willie Cauley Stein, Scal Labissiere, because like Scal's jump shot was going good. His offense was playing well. And I heard he has bad defensive awareness, but I didn't see it so much in the games I saw. Willie Cauley Stein and Scal Labissiere seems like a perfect kind of young, not greedy
yin and yang tandem
front court combo to pair with perhaps a player like Russell Westbrook.
Ooh. Boogie trade.
I'm looking at a straight up boogie for Russ Westbrook. I think makes the Kings way better.
He goes back to Cali.
I mean,
it does not make the Thunder way better.
No.
Well, I mean,
well, it's going to be way worse when they lose him.
It gets the Thunder 2 years of a talented player ahead of 1 year. Because I was looking
God.
Like. Would you rather have, so if you can imagine the Kings Darren Collison, Aaron Aflalo, Rudy Gay, Willie Cauley-Stein, DeMarcus Cousins, which is kind of their starting five, perhaps. Or, like, Russ Westbrook, Aaron Aflalo, maybe sliding Matt Barnes at the three, have Rudy Gay at the four, Willie Cauley-Stein at the five. I feel like Russ Westbrook is going to get triple dubs. I mean, Rudy could play second fiddle and then just have the Willie Cauley-Stein rebounding. Barnes out there.
Mm.
I feel like that team would mess some people up to the route of a 44-38 record.
Reveal what a whirlwind free agency has been for me. Are you saying Matt Barnes isn't on the Grizzlies?
Matt Barnes follows his tearful
Matt Barnes.
Coach Dave Yeager. Which I'm also.
Oh man.
Oh Matt.
John Burrs just found out some information.
Oh John, you've been under a rock, man.
He's been working so hard. He didn't get that text.
Matt Barnes told us that he was almost certainly going back to California to be near his kids.
I'm personally certain that I texted Memphis guy at group text. No.
Yeah.
RIP Matt Barnes.
He wasn't going to be there. We knew it.
Oh, you forgot. Here, I blacked it out.
Here, I'm going to try to raise your spirits.
I know.
So Dave Yeager went and got Matt Barnes,
Fat Dave Yeager.
Who? Oh man, he's really packed on some weight.
He's fat.
Yeah.
From two-thirds of this room is fat. We know fat. Dave Yeager's fat.
He was wearing some khakis that were not flattering. In those sweet, actually incredibly good new Sacramento Kings logo rebrands. Those look great. No, so Yeager gets Matt Barnes, who he, in his tearful farewell, was just praising his professionalism and his competitive spirit.
Because Matt Barnes is awesome.
The other guy,
triple.
The other guy he was tearfully praising was Vince Carter. I'm hoping maybe we could swap Vince Carter for Omri Caspi, who
has
suddenly followed in the rotation, fallen down deep in the rotation.
And he could shoot. Give us another shooting wing.
That would make me super happy. I tell you the guys, some of the more interesting guys I saw were Chris Dunn has to be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Dunn played two games and it was oh my.
Yeah.
Killing people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like awesome at defense. Awesome at offense, unstoppable. Like he was splitting the double teams. Like, you know, like first game he just dominated and he was playing against.
There's a reason teams almost traded their entire slate of.
Right. He was playing against the Nuggets who were playing Moutier and Gary Harris that first game.
Yeah.
Like actual NBA dudes.
Right.
He was lighting it up. And like he's chippy too.
Yeah.
Like John, it was good. Like he hit a step back. He made Jakar Sampson fall down on a crossover.
Nice.
He did blow the shot, which made it not a SportsCenter top 10.
It was a Jakar Noir moment.
Well Jakar done. Noir.
Where is it?
Stinky cool water jokes.
Yeah.
Damn it.
But then he had a turnaround like 20-footer where he fell back into the Nuggets bench and was just jawing at him. And
that's great.
Like, so Chris Dunn.
So where's Rubio going then?
Well, so they think, I think they're planning on him
being rotational,
playing point. Off the ball, like playing more of a two.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh,
I mean, he looked awesome. It was just two games, you know. Yeah. We've seen guys go off.
Yeah,
in some, we've seen Josh Shelby, you know,
ooh,
average 37. We've seen Anthony Morrow almost score 50. But
James Ennis made my heart
flutter.
One summer,
it's Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah,
James Ennis.
So I mean, so Chris Dunn was like the most exciting, and then he got hit in the head, concussion protocol.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you go flying into benches, dog.
Yep. Mm. But so
Dragon Bender will punch you.
For me, the most exciting was like thinking like, man, if this guy is special, because like a lot of the question was, you know, at Providence, like it's Providence, right?
Yes.
It's like, you know, maybe he doesn't shoot that well. You know, he's not a totally smooth shooter.
And, yeah.
But like his jumper was on,
and he's athletic,
and he has a huge body.
So you're like, talking about like three crazy athletic wings.
It could be. I mean,
rotationally, kind of. Big dudes, I mean, that can play all three positions almost.
I mean, the Wolves on paper look so good, but then again, they kind of looked so good last year.
Yeah, I mean, I still think they're a year away, you know, from being true players. But
I think Thibodeau's going to put a system in place that gets those kids to where they need to be this year.
Right.
Sam Mitchell, while he wasn't awful, was not the best coach for them ever. I think Thibodeau's a difference maker as a coach when it comes to like a philosophy and a, you know, system in the organization that allows for talent like that. We've seen it with Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler. And,
I mean, Tibbs is going to work wonders with Chris Dunn.
Yep.
And that's the type of player.
It's going to be exciting.
And it's perfect for him because it's a team with low miles on their legs.
Well, not for long. Well, that's not with Tibbs in town.
Well, that's the thing. Is
not if KG comes back.
I hear he's not now.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's going to get that 22nd season.
Okay. Yeah, he probably will.
That's the latest rumblings, but maybe he just wants the attention.
He's no gentleman. He's no Tim Duncan. He's not going to, withdraw from a farewell tour. Are you kidding me?
We do need to have a moment of silence at some point.
For the greatest dressed player in the history of the NBA. Timothy Timmy T. Duncan.
Cargo pants Timmy.
Mr. 14XL button-up checkered pattern shirt.
Don't talk jive about the Dungeon Master now.
He's it. But
he'll crit you.
Man, what about Tim Duncan, though?
Yeah, Tim Duncan's gone.
Greatest power forward.
We kind of knew it. I mean, his body couldn't go anymore.
Generational, the best player of the generation that includes Kobe Bryant and others?
I would say so.
Yeah.
I mean, he's unequivocally the most...
Almost got as many titles as Jordan.
Right, incredible
player. Wanted
that
to happen.
Yeah. He was insanely
Made
me curse.
Yeah, his career plus minus was 10,000 exactly, which was like the next closest was like 6,800 somebody else.
Jeez. Yeah. So he did it. He did it well for a long time. He did the right things as far as like contracts were concerned to allow the team to build while keeping him on the roster.
Never spent a dime. According to his GM,
he lives in the same $1,400 apartment that he had his rookie year, which is kind of cool.
He actually still lives in his Wake Forest dorm.
Got a timeshare.
Him and Randolph Childress.
But I hated watching him beat the Heat the year that he personally tore apart the big three with Kawhi Leonard.
Do you guys remember?
But he's the best.
When Manu slipped that cup under his butt when he was sitting down. I want that in slow motion with, I will remember you.
Yeah.
My thing is him getting ejected for laughing on the bench.
The Joey Crawford.
Oh, so
Joey
good.
Crawford. Joey Crawford
so
laugh
good.
Ejection.
So
and just like the because it just highlighted Joey Crawford's insanity that human being was the one he made, his point of, fury for that. It was stupid, but it was my favorite.
What kind of guy are you when your arch nemesis is Tim Duncan?
Right.
Yeah.
Man, it's like
I think Joey's admitted he had some anger issues that he worked through.
Yeah.
After that.
He's like Teddy Ruxpin, the person,
God help me. I watched a special on Joey Crawford for the demented, and it was a really depressing special. Like him and his wife talking about his anger issues is like, good Lord, what have we not seen?
I think I heard him on the Woj podcast, and it was super interesting. It was just talking about him.
But yeah, RIP, the god, Tim Duncan.
How many people added bank shots to their arsenal just because of Tim Duncan?
Oh, Dwayne Wade did.
I don't know. It's a great question.
They had fallen out of fashion until he came.
Yeah,
he lurching back onto court.
Did you hear the story, the Etan Thomas story, where he was he was playing against Tim Duncan, and Etan Thomas got inside position, did a pivot. And shot a little hook shot, and Duncan blocked it, and then running on the court, Duncan's like, "Hey man, try to get contact into my chest, because then that way I either have to foul you or I can't block your shot." And Etan Thomas is like, "Is this guy messing with me?" So the next time, he gets the ball in the same position, he does it where he dips into his shoulder and he misses the shot, but Duncan doesn't block it, and Duncan's like, "Yeah, that was much better."
Holy Lord.
What a guy.
Sensei.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
He will be missed.
Yeah. Moving on to another player that I found interesting that was a high draft pick. Jamal Murray on the Nuggets. He's a guy. So, I felt like I got a good grip of, I feel like Simmons is going to be good. I feel like Ingram's going to be real good. I think Chris Dunn's going to be real good. Jamal Murray was one where the dude got buckets, but he's more of a question mark for me. He was very intriguing.
Volume shooter.
His handle seemed to be pretty good. His early games, he was trying to figure out. He did seem a little lost, but then man, he started knocking some stuff down. So the Nuggets are also, they are just stacked. They can draft. They're late picks. Mm-hmm. Peter Corneli guy and the Juan Hernan Gomez.
I got to see a lot of Juan Hernan Gomez. Seemed pretty efficient.
Oh man, Hernan Gomez. The most exciting thing might be my new basketball playing style doppelganger. he's just running around just doing stuff.
Flailing.
No longer Kurt Rambis.
Yeah, so, well, Kurt is...
I would close.
Kurt is more of my visible...
your visage.
appearance. So, they seem to have some good... some the Nuggets just keep getting interesting players. But I think Jamal Murray's one that, like, I'm curious, like, if he can be a really good player on the wing for them, like, as a shooter, like, that'll be a huge pickup. But, you know, I'm not really sure.
As Moutier can stop turning the ball over.
Yeah, I mean, Moutier will be good year two.
Mm. Yeah, I like Moutier.
What do you think about the boy Thon Maker?
Thon Thoughts.
Oh. Thon
Maker? A new segment.
Man, Thon Maker, you know, if
the
he...
The Foul King, the King of Pain?
So I won't make an age joke, but...
He looks young to me.
He's interesting. Like he's active. I don't know. Like I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion. He was interesting. He hit some threes. Like he would make plays where he would like dribble the ball off his foot, like or drop a pass and then pick it up, step back three, drain it, and you're like, oh, is that actually in his arsenal or like
is that a new metric? Yeah,
Adolf to three conversion. Yeah. So I mean, he blocked some shots. He pulled off. He was the first guy in Vegas Summer League to foul out with the 10 fouls. So he got a 10 foul out.
That's a double double right
here. The Bucks are obviously just doubling down, tripling, quadrupling down on let's just get really long guys. Just figure it out. And I'm worried about their team. I mean, even though I like, you know, Antetokounmpo, like that's exciting to see him continue to grow, but I don't know what they haven't really added anything this offseason.
If he doesn't run point, they're in deep trouble.
Yeah. And also, Thon Maker's foul out makes me think of Alan Williams for the Suns, who's a free agent big guy. He pulled off the triple double. Got 18 rebounds. I mean, 18 points, 10 rebounds, 10 fouls.
That's a nice. Summer League
classic.
Special.
He gets the standing.
I haven't heard
O
you
from
talk
guy.
About Twitterati darling Yabusele yet.
Yabusele. Oh, I almost forgot about Yabusele.
He was talking about him.
Gershon Yabu is incredible. Incredible. He's like when he played one Summer League game and Jared Sullinger signed with the Raptors the next day. Jared Sullinger's like, well, yeah. Well, I'm not getting
my
like,
spot.
Celtics,
they
Celtics
took my
aren't
spot.
Over. He has a huge...
So was he the big white
base?
French guy?
Yeah, he's okay. The French Draymond Green.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's just a few games of Summer League. His three-point was locked on. Like, he was hitting threes. He's like a giant... I don't know.
That high ass.
Yeah, like he's so strong, like a bull. I just walked by him in a casino. Like, I just wanted to try to get a whiff
of his essence.
The only thing I know about him is just people on Twitter just...
Man,
fluffing.
It was, I'm telling you, the guys, like, he drove to the basket hard. He finished well, like, left-handed finisher.
Yeah.
He was moving people for rebounds. He could handle the ball some. It was one of those, like, did the Celtics just grab, like, a prototypical, you know, I think he was, like, the 15th, 16th pick. And mm-hmm. It's like, and there's even talk, they have too many guys on their roster, the Celtics do. And they're like, well, maybe if we make a trade and move a guy, we'll bring him in. I'm like, what do you, like, get rid of Tyler Zeller. I mean, that guy's fine. That guy's fine, but. We need Yabusele now. Like the NBA, the NBA needs him. Speaking of walking, trying to get a whiff of his essence.
Oh yeah,
I was kind of one of the things of like one of the awkward things of like my enjoyment of walking around looking for NBA people is like I was not credentialed media for this, so like I actually have the leeway kind of to be like if you're credentialed media, you can't do that.
No.
Like off.
Can't germ people.
You can't off. And, I mean, but I also have the problem where I kind of dress like a racist. Like
the beard doesn't help either.
Like I have the beard and short hair. I was wearing like some snap button shirts, you know, and it's like, but still, I still get. I'm just a fan.
Well, that's
I'm excited,
why. That's why I dress like a character from the game of Sons of Anarchy when they go to Margaritaville, because when you have a specific look, you have to like disarm people with flower patterns.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I suggest you with that beard and those blue Aryan eyes.
Chuck dresses like Bonnaroo the person.
No, but anyway, Yabusele looked very exciting, and like I do definitely hope he's in the NBA this season. The Celtics also, Abdul Nader was a guy who kind of popped out to me as like he was a second round pick, and again, I don't see any way he makes the roster. But
in my mind, he's related to Ala Abdul Mabi.
Yeah, he could be. He was an Iowa State player, but he was really good. Also on the Sixers, speaking of Twitter darling. The before the draft Twitter darling, Timothy Luwawu.
Terrible.
Now Luwawu Cabarro. Yeah, you caught that drift. He was horrible in Summer League. Like, he's not ready. Like
I saw him yesterday, and he looked like a child had wandered onto the court, like just a big baby out there.
Yeah. Steve Buscemi style. Yeah, it was. You're like a child who's wandered into a conversation.
That's right.
the Chris Wood, Christian Wood, the artist formerly known as Christian Wood. He signed a contract. So he was on the Sixers.
I'm the Walrus.
The Colangelo, Jerry Colangelo actually unguaranteed. They had him locked down in one of those like kind of subservient 3-year contracts. You can't indentured servitudes.
Got a whiff and said, nah.
No. So Colangelo like unguaranteed his contract, got rid of him. He's since signed with the Hornets. I think that's a great signing for the Hornets. This guy is he's showing that promise where he was like, he's a really tall 6'11 forward, kind of a stretch four athlete. He looked good in Utah. I saw on TV and like in Washington and Vegas. It's like, oh, this guy might be a baller. So that could be a good pickup.
Is it time to talk about the elephant in the room?
I don't know if you guys have noticed that my, mood's been a little
scorned.
Dead.
Your eyes are misty.
I've just been really in a low state for the past, week and a half.
What's got you down, buddy?
Chuck, is there anything on your chest?
The man 1A.
Been weighing you down?
It's 1 and 1A in my life as far as heroes and sports go.
Uh-huh.
It's Dan Marino and Dwayne Wade. And guys,
the Jaguars killed Dan Marino.
Waterworks.
In front of your eyes. Oh.
I'm glad this isn't a video podcast.
I just don't know how. I mean, it's been 13 years of just dedication and being there. And now you just pick up and go, buddy. You just pick up and go? No. No.
Sweet home
you
Chicago.
You can't do that to me.
Sweet home Chicago.
You can't. And my favorite thing that John told me was immediately after. Good news, the Heat are both worse and the Bulls are worse. He simultaneously made both teams worse.
I haven't seen anything like that in some time.
Which is a low-key kind of good move for Pat Riley, I guess. Yeah, I guess you can go to Chicago.
Here's the deal. Pat Riley could pull out his well-tanned stick it right in Chuck's face, tell him it's a popsicle.
You want to know why?
Because he loves that man.
Because he's got a bag of rings and we don't, dog. And he's done it.
Your boy,
it well. He lowballed his way out of Dwayne Wade.
No. Your boy Pat Riley is on the public, on the media offensive right now with a very forlorn, regretful.
Yeah.
He's saying, I should have gotten in a canoe and paddled all the way to the Mediterranean to win him over. I should have been in New York when the plane landed. That's my job.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's just doing this media thing. This is not lied. Real.
You know what happened? He probably saw that god awful Kobe tour. It was like, I don't want to be.
Yeah. My thing, though, it's like, I don't think Dwayne Wade's done playing for a while. He's going to get these two contracts, and I think he's going to just hobble along for
one of his best seasons last year.
It was reported that Hassan Whiteside was late to 41 practices last year.
Wow.
They signed him to a max deal.
Yeah.
Let the face of the franchise, Dwayne Wade, walk.
I think a financially prudent move when you look at Wade's history. Last year was, I think, not, predictable for future behavior for him. He was a contract year. He was in the best shape I've seen him since the late 2000s.
41 practices. I can't get over that number.
Dwayne Wade brought it in the playoffs.
It's all hearsay.
He brought it.
He did. He looked great. He kept.
That's all you need from him.
He started eating vegetables.
Who cares what he does in the regular season?
He didn't eat vegetables for 12 years. Started eating vegetables and had a great
fall down seven, stand up eight.
I hate NBA players.
So, yeah. So he finally took his body and his health seriously and had a good season. And maybe he would have done that. 4 years in Miami with LeBron, we wouldn't have lost him, you jerk. This is the next stage.
Yeah.
Oh, you're moving to anger?
It's anger.
Here's something. I don't know if this will take you to anger. So Pat Riley, franchise builder, championship architect.
The godfather.
So you realize like the Heat next year
will not make the playoffs.
We'll have zero big three.
None.
Like they won a title. They lost the title.
So Bosch is definitely not playing.
2 years ago. I mean, there's a chance plays, but I'm saying there's like LeBron's gone.
And effectively,
Dwayne Wade's gone.
That's
Chris Bosch couldn't have played his last game too.
That's my Jesus. This is where I say,
are you even going to do the podcast anymore?
No, dude. This is just like
this is how we started. This is why we got
Chuck. This is like Michael Corleone at the end of The Godfather.
Oh yeah.
He's the boss.
Dwayne Wade just closed the door on you.
He just didn't need, And what's weird is that Riley has let all three of those guys go with some sort of acrimony. I mean, Bosch last year was very pissed at the organization. Wade's obviously salty now, and LeBron did what he did. So there's, you know, he brought these guys together and then
drove them apart.
And in his defense, saw the finish line and the amount of money you have to pay players that probably in the modern NBA weren't built for each other, with Dwayne Wade never learning how to shoot a three-pointer. And we got all excited when Chris Bosh went from 20% three to 32 and thinking he's a shooter now. Those players weren't built for the modern NBA. And I think he saw that and said, all right, come on, we got to start over.
Maybe it's just tapping that old trope. Chuck's lived long enough to see Pat Riley become the villain.
Yeah, I think so. But if Dwayne Wade hadn't left, you guys wouldn't have had room to sign.
Do you guys know what the Heat was before he showed up? It was Bimbo Coles.
Matt Geiger.
It was Matt Geiger. Tim Hardaway came after Pat Riley. Harold Miner. All these people, Steve Smith and Glenn Rice, they were great players, but nothing happened to my team for the entirety of my childhood. And this man showed up.
Blue Edwards.
He was a post Riley pickup. But you know, he
never missed a shot ever.
Brought a culture, and he was here before Wade, and
brought
he brought.
Well, I'm glad you're defending him because he's all you got.
He is.
He's all I had. Ellington.
He's all I had from the beginning.
You know, Wayne Ellington dropped like 7 threes on him when he was on the Grizzlies for like a month once.
Yeah.
And that's Pat Riley remembered.
He
locked him down.
That's the Doc Rivers maneuver.
Josh Dease, Richard Schlow, who's a hopeful young rookie. Josh Richardson was
in Vegas.
Makes the Heat kind of fun to root for.
I mean, they're going to be underdogs. There's going to be a level of the rebuild. But I think ultimately, if they can put together a decent season with Spoelstra leading that team to some sort of respectable, it may not be the playoffs, but a respectable outcome of the season, then you can draw people and say, hey, look, we're still a winning culture. We didn't lose three of the best players of the past 20 years and just fall apart.
Yep.
So that's a sellable thing for a man like that and a big tan cock.
A respectable roster. It's not bottom 10 roster.
If they can focus on getting Goran and Hassan together on those pick and rolls, then they can have things, which is, I'm saying a lot. I know what I'm saying, but now that they don't have anyone else to coach, they might be okay with that.
Oh my God.
I know the hope is fleeting, but it could be a thing. Who knows?
We got to get Chuck a young Whiteside jersey.
We got
to
get you
this
one.
This has to happen.
Here's, man, he scares
me. When is your birthday, young man?
He scares me so much. My whole world's upside down.
I was very surprised.
When is your birthday, young man?
November the 10th.
All right, listen up, listeners. If we all throw in 50 cents, I think we can get them.
Is this a GoFundMe?
Yes,
GoFundMe. I think those jerseys cost like 120 bucks. We're going to need a couple more listeners to pony up more.
Yeah. I was being a magnanimous to ourselves.
Yeah, we got a bunch of listeners.
Yeah, don't spread that rumor.
They're out there.
Yeah. To slowly wrap up. We should mention a couple of things about the Grizzlies, but we will have a Grizzlies epilogue of kind of a freestand to talk about more Grizzly stuff. I do want to say observations. The fun observation was your boy Fizdale, Chuck, taking over. He did coach the Summer Grizz. Mm-hmm. And one of the cooler things that I saw being in there that you wouldn't have seen on TV is during the first dead ball timeout where he huddled up, Fizdale actually just kind of sat down and folded his arms, like crossed his legs and leaned back, and just like he didn't say anything for a while. And then he started grinning, and I felt like he was just really soaking it in, like you know,
I'm a coach.
The last time I was a head coach was the rookie sophomore challenge, you know, and now I have an NBA team, and yes, it's a summer league, but I felt like he was kind of soaking it in. That was cool. I got excited for that.
Yeah.
Briefly on the Grizz rookies, I'm nervous. I mean, Deonte Davis is so far down the depth chart. And he didn't play because of plantar fasciitis, which is great. Keep drafting guys who can't play basketball.
That's our new, that's where we're zigging where others zag. Right. We get all the injured guys.
And so the Grizzlies.
Moneyball.
Despite the Grizzlies, you know, which we covered in the Grizz epilogue where I talked to Joe Mullinax a week or so ago, despite them doing well for what they could get, a lot of it is they probably need Wade Baldwin and Andrew Harrison to step in day one and back up point guard and play serious role as a two, because they pretty much only have, I mean, they got Troy Daniels and they got Tony Allen. I'm nervous. I think Wade has a long way to go. He looked like he didn't know when to shoot a lot. He looked good on D,
but Kevin Stallings teaching.
Yeah, it could have been. It could have been the leftover funk of his Vanderbilt education, basketball education. But I got nervous watching Wade Baldwin. You know, he had flashes of brilliance where he had, you know, great finishes. A couple
those Westbrook drives.
Yep. A couple
abandon.
Reverse layups spun off the glass that I thought were wildly lucky, and then I saw the replay, and I'm like, no, I think he was under control. Those were good shots. But I'm nervous that maybe he can't go ahead and contribute. But to close, I want to give just my own steak and egg and cream of wheat from the time in Vegas. Steak and egg was the Vegas trip peaked early with a very nerdy moment where leaving the airport, getting in the rental car shuttle, I walked behind NBA referee dignitary Monty McCutcheon, and I was like, oh, it's Monty McCutcheon. And then I was looking at him, you know, like when you're
get a good vinyl story out of him.
Well, so yeah, like it was great. So like I briefly, like I thought it was him, and then I'm like, you know what, that might not be him, because I always second guess myself when I see a person in person for the first time ever that I normally see on TV. And then I'm like, it is him. So I'm gonna say hi. So I'm like, Mr. I was like, are you Monty McCutcheon? He's like, yeah. And like sticks his hand out like he's supposed to know me. I'm like, you don't know me. Just my name's Keith Parrish. I'm just an NBA fan. He's like, and then he just bust into.
He thought you were Gordon Gierchek or something.
No, but then he busted into the most friendly and gregarious, like, where are you from, Keith? What's your last name? And then he's like, why are you here? And so I'm like, well, I'm here to watch Vegas Summer League. He's like, oh, wow. Like you've done it before. And then we started talking basketball, mm-hmm. You know, told him about the podcast. He's like, oh, listen to the podcast, man. We listen to podcasts. Like, that sounds great. We started talking about, the Dion Waiters push off play.
Yeah.
Like the, all the different various things. I did suck up to him in the fact that, I told him, he's like, I bet you guys talk about us a lot on your podcast. I, you know, like some of those plays. And I was like, you can actually go back and listen. I fought for you guys. I said, I thought the end of that Oklahoma City Spurs game was beautiful and it should be unchanged. Like, I'm all for you guys, like getting rid of the two last 2 minute review.
Bring up the Hack-a-Shack.
The last 2 minute reports. We didn't talk about that.
Did you get him to explain it to you?
I mean, he was really nice. He said a couple things, you know. It was like off the record, of course. I'm like, yes, sir. You know, but it's like he was just really gregarious, like really friendly. He saw me later in the week, like called me up by name. So I was walking high. I was walking, you know. I was fired up about that. And again, like I was like, man, we gotta get more refs out in the public eye so that we can hear your sides and talk about it. But
well, enough of this joy. Let's hear the bad stuff now.
Okay. So the worst thing I saw, which again, wasn't really terrible, but it was just kind of funny. I saw a bunch of guys. So again, you know, I don't know who these college guys are. So a lot of the problems when you're trying to identify players, it's like, who is that? And then like you go to your phone, you start Googling summer league rosters and trying to pull up pictures. And anyway, in one of the casinos at like the $100 blackjack table was a bunch of undrafted, like, rookie guys, and I was like, fellas,
what are you doing?
I'll give you some life advice. Like,
head down to that quarter table, play slots.
I was like, you don't need to be playing $100 a hand, guys. Like these are all guys, because like I was looking, like, and I'm like, yeah, that's definitely undrafted guy out of, who's in college last year. Mm. Like, I'm sure his agent has floated him something, but you know, he might be signing a lucrative overseas thing. But I was like, guys, $100 a hand is not where you want to be time in your life.
I love that 30 for 30 broke. I'd love
unbelievable.
I'd love to see a part two. So I always
guys who never even had the money.
No. So I was kind of entertained at one point, but I'm also like, fellas, like just go to the 25 a hand. You know, like I don't care if you're signing. You know, I don't know how long you're earning, when it was going to be. Let's not blow it all right now. All right, guys. So that was a lot of me talking.
Indeed.
My mouth is dry and parched, and Chuck and John have the glazed over look.
Put a pillow under our heads.
That's right. That's
you
perfect.
Narcissist.
Check us out for the rest of the summer. We're going to be doing.
Give us a little par fadeaway action.
Yeah. Okay. So, par fadeaway. What are we looking forward to?
I'm going to go ahead and get into next season a little bit. I know we might be podcasting a little more before that, but I'm looking forward to Boban Marjanovic crunch time minutes, particularly when you can't put Andre Drummond in the game.
The Aaron Baines,
yes,
Marjanovic.
Yeah, they've upgraded Aaron Baines quite a bit. They've gone double Spurs on it.
Here's a spoiler to our upcoming preseason Pistons preview for next year. I think they kind of blew it.
No,
I think Stan Van might have blown free agency.
I thought he blew it until the Boban signing, right. Brought me back in. So just John, when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. Because we were talking about it. We were texting. We were like, "Ooh, Stan Van, what the hell are you doing?" I was like, "This looks bad. He may have lost his touch." But then Boban, and I was back.
That's pretty funny. John Lure, 4 years, $43 million.
Well, I mean, I texted that to you guys. Maybe that's what the fourth big man off a bench is worth.
Nope.
Now in today's NBA. We don't know.
Below average players are still not worth that.
Well, I mean,
Johnny Bang.
Literally, if you are a below average player, you should not be paid rotation money.
Right.
If you want to be good.
Right.
That's my take. That's Keith's take.
Maybe Stan Van needs a pinochle buddy. But on this.
What a Stan Van unlocks John Lure's full arsenal.
You know what this is, man? We got to readjust to what the new normal is.
I'm into the new numbers,
Chuck. If somebody woke up, being in a coma since the 60s, they'd be like, man, you guys are overpaying for milk.
You're not talking to Ed Werder over here. We understand
I literally understand the economics.
I know, but maybe we just got to get used to that dumb stuff.
You got a parfait away, Chuck?
Yeah, man. I'm going to go burn all my Wade jerseys.
Yeah, tear them
up.
Come
on, guys.
Gotta get salty.
If each of us gives just one John F. Kennedy half dollar, we can get Chuck this Whiteside jersey.
Hassan Whiteside's going to destroy my franchise.
My par fadeaway is I have, because of traveling and watching all the Summer League, I haven't had a chance to actually watch the tournament game yet.
Oh, jeez.
But I've picked my team.
Here we go.
Wayne Chisholm.
Jay Will, White Chocolate, and Mike Bibby's team.
That's awesome.
They are advancing.
So many blunts being rolled on that team bus.
Backward after backward after backward. Back to back to back. Yeah, I think Mike Bibby. Didn't Mike Bibby go to he got kicked out of one of his kids' basketball games?
He's a madman.
Juicing the ref. He was giving him all sorts of crap.
But so they're Pedro's Posse. I had to look that up. Pedro's Posse is the tournament team that I will be pulling for. So I'll be watching that. Maybe I'll rabble one of those games. Just solo.
Please do.
Just solo rabbling a tournament game. Anyway, thanks guys for listening. We will be back in the off season doing probably some different interviews. I enjoyed doing the phone interview. We'll do some more of that. So we won't be too far out. I don't know when our next canon episode with all three of us sitting around a table. Maybe not till October. But stick with us. Follow us on Twitter at Fast Break Break. Like us on Facebook, Fast Break Breakfast there. Write us a review on iTunes. Thanks for everyone who does that. Go to rabble.tv. Check us out there. Go to fanessentials.net. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.